Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview looking ahead to Sunday's home tie in the FA Cup with Premier League Norwich City. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me to look ahead to that game first up, Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
All good, thank you. Yeah, how are you?
Struck down with a nasty bout of cup fever, I imagine.
Yeah, it's horrendous. Honestly, kept me in bed all week.
Yeah, do you have to isolate for cup fever? Don't know.
That's why I wasn't at the Papa John's. Yeah, well, that's my excuse anyway.
Yeah, it was wrong type of cup. And also join us a man who has fled the country and finally been sent back, Mr. Lewis Cat. How you doing, Lou?
Yeah, good mate. Thank you. You're right.
Yeah, good to have you back in the UK. I had Christmas in the US, but you're back on home soil now. How was it?
Yeah, really good, mate. Thank you. Really good. Went very quickly, but yeah, glad to be back. Looking forward to going back to Charlton. It's been far too long.
Exactly. Who needs Miami and Florida when you can be in SE7? That's what I always say. So on tonight's show, we will be looking ahead to that tie with Premier League at Norwich. We're going to hear briefly from Johnny Jackson looking ahead to the game. We've also got Jacko talking about Harry Arter going back to Nottingham Forest, the transfer window, Jaden Stockley's injury, an update on that. Of course, we'll look back at the enthralling Papa John's trophy win in midweek over Milton Keynes. And we'll also hear from Georgia Fox, who signed on loan for the women today. We've got David Freezer from the Eastern Daily Press. He's going to tell us all about Norwich City later on in the pod as well. But it's Norwich City who are coming to the Valley on Sunday, then the Premier League side visiting SE7. I asked Johnny Jackson very briefly to have a look ahead to the game.
Yeah, it's a great game for us, isn't it? It's a Premier League team coming here. We want to showcase what we're about. It's a game that I want to try and win. I want to try and cause an upset. Obviously, we know that we'll be the massive underdog in that. But I went strong in the last round. I'll go strong in this round and we'll be giving it everything we can to get through.
There you go, Jacko, highlighting it as, a winnable tie. I think that's the way we're sort of pitching this, Tom. You know, Premier League side, the first Premier League side to come to the Valley in a competitive game since we got relegated, which is a bloody long time ago. But, I mean, not really a Premier League side, if we're being honest. It's only Norwich. The least attractive Premier League side you could have got, basically a Championship side plus. But because of that, and because they're in dire straits in the Premier League, you'd imagine they'll make changes. So we'll look at this as a winnable game.
Definitely, yeah. I think your point there is right. They're a Premier League team really in name only, but they are still in that division, and I think they're the sort of team that we could have a really good go at if we pick a strong side and if we're up for it. And I think it's a good chance to test ourselves against some good opposition and just see how we cope. I think first sort of half an hour or so of the game will be very telling, because if we can keep it tight and keep it at, you know, 0-0 or maybe even sneak ahead, then it's going to be a real decent cup tie. But, you know, even though they are only Norwich, there is every chance that their quality might tell and they might run away with it. And obviously we hope that doesn't happen. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's not the, you know, the top four that you might want to get down here, or, you know, the exciting away day at somewhere like, I don't know, Old Trafford or wherever. But it's a Premier League tie and it's one that we should go into with a bit of confidence and try and cause an upset. Because no matter the fact that they're bottom of the league, it still would be an upset if we beat them. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, Jacko said there, Lewis, that we're going to be going strong. We have gone strong in pretty much all of the FA Cup game, or both of the FA Cup games we've played so far this season, the win over Havant and Waterlooville. And then obviously we got past Gateshead last time out in what was a real tough game. And that was pretty much the strongest side we had available to us at the time. So, I mean, it almost goes without saying that we'll be putting out another very strong side on Sunday, especially when I guess you take in consideration that we're quite far away from the playoffs now. You could argue that the two cups that we're left in are where we're going to make a real dent in this season if we do so now.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a good opportunity for us to try and go on a bit of a cup run, because as you say, the season itself has become a little bit, you know, stale, if you like, because of the start that we had. we're some way off the playoffs now. I don't think the season's over as such, but I do think that it would be a real uphill battle to get to where we wanted to be at the start of the season. So it's a good opportunity to try and have a cup run because, you know, so many times, year after year, we don't really seem to go on a decent cup run and we're always sort of robbed of any kind of Premier League tie as the rounds progress, etc., because we don't progress ourselves. So it's nice to see us one in the third round and also to get a Premier League side at home. And I know, as we say, it is only Norwich, but it's going to attract a fairly decent crowd and I think it will be a fairly decent encounter as well. And I think we've got a real chance of causing, you know, not so much of a shocking upset, but an upset in this round, given that the state that kind of Norwich are in the Premier League, you know, they're not doing too well. Are they going to focus purely on trying to get as many points as they can in the Prem to try and stay up against the odds and kind of put the cups to the back of their mind? Or are they going to give it a go the same way that we are, that maybe their season is over? But something I'm really looking forward to, and it's a real test for us to see where we're at, and also an early test for Johnny Jackson to come up against a side, you know, a couple of divisions higher than where we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Norwich, they're only 3 points from safety. They've played a game more than Watford, who are sitting outside the relegation zone. Norwich are bottom in the Premier League with 10 points, playing 19. Watford have played 18 and they have 13 points. Burnley, just below Watford, have played 17 games. So they've got two in hand on Norwich. So it's not like their season's over. I mean, the way they've been playing recently suggests that they haven't got a great deal of hope of getting out of this, Tom. So again, we'll be thinking their minds will be elsewhere. Now, when we look at the team that we put out, obviously the main obvious team news will be the fact that we can't play Akin Fainwo because he's on loan from Norwich. So possibly a chance for Ryan Innes to come in. He put in a solid hour's work against Milton Keynes during the week. So we're hoping like this could be a way to sort of ease him back into sort of full fitness as well over the next few games.
Yeah, he obviously had that 5 minutes up front as well, didn't he, on New Year's Day. So I think we've been quite protective over him, and obviously the postponements have helped that as well. I think we've sort of gradually eased him back in, but we also need to be careful with him because in the short amount of time that we've had him, we know how injury prone he can be or how much he struggled with them. So I'd definitely like to see him get some minutes, whether he plays the full game or not, I'm not sure. But, you know, we've got Deji Eloware as well, who's played in the past. We've had, you know, the likes of Matthews or Gunter have played in that centre. Sean Clare has played in there as well. So even if we are going to play our normal three at the back, we've still got a lot of options. I mean, obviously, we'd love Fainwo there. I think he's definitely kicked on again this season, or certainly the last few months of the season, he's looked pretty solid. But, you know, that's the way it goes, unfortunately, with these loans. And I think we've got enough options at the back that we can rotate people in. I guess the other big one, maybe you're about to ask Lewis, this is obviously Jaden Stockley. I know likely to be out. I haven't seen any update on that yet. But what we do up front, because I think with the Wickham game, that's where we really looked like we were struggling without him. So what we do up at the other end of the pitch for me is going to be the key thing, because obviously we're going to need to score a goal at least.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know for certain whether Jaden will be out, and we'll discuss that later on in terms of his injury itself. But if he is out, I mean, Lewis, you were lucky enough to not be on the same continent as Josh Davison's first half performance against Wickham, you know, where it just didn't happen for him, unfortunately. And we've seen Jonathan Lecco up top away at Plymouth. He was up top partnering Jaden, and he came on second half partnered Connor against Wickham. You'd assume that would probably have to be the way we'd go there, even if it isn't anywhere near as fluid as the Stockley and Washington partnership.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's making best of what you've got. And I did follow the game against Wickham from the US. I was watching on Valley Pass. And yeah, Josh's first half performance was not up there. You know, it was quite disappointing. And it's a shame because he's someone that I thought had a lot of potential. And I think he still does. But I thought this season especially, I know he was really within the plans under Nigel when, you know, earlier on in the season, it was mentioned that he wouldn't be going on loan, he'd be staying here, and he was in the first team plans. And I thought maybe he'd kick on and bring something, especially at this level, because I thought he performed okay at a championship level. Saw him out on loan last year, and then this season I thought, oh, maybe he can kick on with us. And it just hasn't happened, you know. So I can't see him playing on Sunday. I think it will be either Lecco or maybe they'll change the system up and go with a three and have a winger either side of Connor. I'm not sure, but if they were to go for the system they've been playing recently, then I would probably pick Lecco over Davison right now, 100%.
Yeah, and that would obviously free up that space on the right-hand side for Dialing Jaisimi to stay in the side, Tom. And he'll be one who'll want to try and prove himself. He had 3 or 4 years at Norwich without getting in a league appearance. And a player who perhaps over the last few weeks has, you know, he's had some very DJ games. He goes a little bit quiet, sees a bit of the ball, then doesn't. And sometimes his crossing's on, sometimes it's off. So games like this, where you're up against a Premier League side and probably expectation levels aren't as high, I mean, it could be one for him to really kickstart a little bit of form as well.
Yeah, and we saw at the start of the Jacko era exactly the sort of player that we thought we'd signed. He was taking players on, he looked confident, he was trying rainbow flicks and all sorts, wasn't he? And as you say, the last couple of games in particular, that's just sort of fallen away a bit. I think, again, if I use the Wickham as an example, I think they crowded him out and they marked him out of the game a little bit. But maybe he has just lost a little bit of confidence. So, as you just said there, a game against a team like Norwich will really fire him up to show them what he can do. And we need that, you know. Again, if we go back to last weekend, that's what we said was missing. You know, a lot of our play does go through those wide areas, those wing-backs, and we need them to be on song. And when they're not, ultimately, then that's when we start to struggle. So, yeah, I'd like to see him get that start. I didn't see Tuesday night's game, but there was sort of mixed reviews about Kirk. We've obviously got Blackett Taylor as well. So we have got options in those wide places. But for me, DJ is the standout candidate, if you like. And when he's on song, he's, you know, maybe not untouchable, but he's certainly going to be hard for Norwich to defend against. So, yeah, I just hope he can start to pick that form back up. And as you say, with the pressure, a slightly different type of pressure in this FA Cup game, that might be exactly what he needs to really just to let loose and give it a go.
Excellent. Right, I mean, the FA Cup, Lewis, what does it mean to you in this day and age? I think it's more exciting when you're a team who is an underdog, I guess. But we don't get traditionally massive crowds for it. Obviously, Paul Doswell, in particular, one who was disappointed with our home crowd against Havant and Waterlooville. Are you still excited for it? Is it just not got... I mean, the fact that Norwich will almost certainly bring a much-changed side, does that take away a bit of the magic? The fact we're playing Norwich at all, take away a bit of the magic for you?
Not really for me. I mean, when the draw was announced, I think I was a little bit disappointed. It came down to like the last four names, didn't it? And it was us. I think it was us, Arsenal, Forest and Norwich. And I was thinking I would love, you know, Arsenal at home or Arsenal away. Even Forest away would have been a good laugh. So when it came through as Norwich at home, I think it was the sort of least inspiring of the lot. But that doesn't really take the magic away from me, really, purely from the fact that I think we've actually got a decent chance of progressing to the fourth round by playing Norwich. So I think, you know, not so much that the magic's not there. Of course, it's maybe not the glamour fixture that we maybe wanted, especially after so many years of not getting to this stage and not being given the chance to draw against a Premier League side, because we always seem to go out in the first or second round for as long as I can remember. I think it's a good opportunity for us to come up against a Premier League opposition. And, you know, if they are completely changed, then hopefully it makes the task, you know, easier for us. And if it gives us an opportunity to progress to the fourth round and the chance to get another tie potentially against another Premier League opposition that could either bring in, you know, a decent gate receipt at the Valley or give Charlton fans a really good away trip where no doubt at all we would sell out wherever it was. I think, you know, for me, that's an exciting thing to look forward to.
Excellent stuff. I mean, in terms of a crowd, Tom, I don't know what we're expecting. You know, it won't be a sellout, we'll put it that way. obviously, we don't get massive crowds these days because we're in League One and you can't give away tickets in the FA Cup. I think unless both teams agree to it at the minimum, or you might not even be allowed to do it at all, actually. But, you know, are you expecting a massive one? Crowd, that is.
Yeah, careful. I'm expecting a bigger crowd, or a decent-sized crowd, I think. I reckon Norwich will bring a few down because it's not a million miles away. And I think, you know, we just talked there about the magic of the Cup. There are still people who maybe have got, you know, young children, and for the adults there, they still do have that magic of the Cup, and maybe it's an opportunity to take kids where maybe they wouldn't usually to a league game because that magic is still there for them. And I think for some people, you know, even though it is, I know he keeps just saying it is just Norwich, it is a Premier League side coming to town. So I think that does add a few more onto the gate as well. As you say, I'm not expecting 26,000 in there, but I think it will be a decent sized crowd. And I know last weekend it was read out at like 18,000, wasn't it? And there was definitely only about 11 or 12,000 in the ground. So bums on seats, I definitely expect there'll be more than that, and maybe nearer the 18,000 that was suggested last week. But yeah, bigger crowd again makes a difference, doesn't it? We know what we can do when the team are attacking that covered end. So those little margins like that on a day where you're playing a team who are that much higher up the leagues than you, it can make a difference. So yeah, hopefully we do get a few in.
Nice one. Well, don't forget, it's a 2 o'clock kickoff and it's on Sunday at the Valley. There's still plenty of time to get your tickets. So if you're not going, you will be able to listen to full commentary on the BBC Sport website. So make sure you you tune in for that one. We'll talk more about the Norwich game later on in the show. We've got some other things to talk about as well. The big news this week was that Harry Arter has been returned to Nottingham Forest. His loan spell at the Valley has been cut short. I asked Jacko about Harry Arter going back to his parent club, and also a little bit about how the transfer window is shaping up early days. So this is what Jacko said, and he agreed really that hadn't never really happened for Harry Arter here at Charlton on his second spell with the club.
Just that really, yeah. Obviously, he never got the games that he would have liked, and you know we didn't utilise him. Didn't manage to get him those minutes on the pitch, and obviously you know from his point of view he was looking to come here and play games. Never worked out that way, and you know he was great around the place. He was very professional. Got on with the job, trained hard. He just you know he couldn't force his way into that team, so he's obviously had to reassess. We've had to reassess, and he's gone back to Forest. But yeah, it was just one of those things that didn't work out. But you know we wish him the best of luck and hope that he goes back there and is a success.
Frees up a place and I guess an amount of wages as well to start looking elsewhere as well.
Yeah, it's a loan spot that's now available. Obviously, we have to look at those things, look at the squad, look at where there's holes that we might need to fill, where we can improve. That's what we're doing. Looking at that every day, talking about that between myself and Steve and Martin Sengard and the guys in recruitment. We're constant conversation, and hopefully we can do some business and get the right types that are going to come in and help us.
Because they have the first few days of the window been, is it quite manic as a manager to start looking at that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it's busy. There's lots of conversations. That's what happens at the start of the window. Lots of conversation, very little action. There's been very little business conducted so far. All of a sudden, deals start happening, and then they snowball from there, don't they? So, you know, as much as you're keen to get you know your business done as early as possible, it's a really tricky window. It takes time. Deals are complicated. They take time to do. So we have to be patient and not rush it. Try and get the right types and make sure they're the ones that are going to come in and help us second half of the season.
There we go. That's Jacko. We'll come on to his comments about the transfer window itself in a few moments' time, Lewis. But I mean, Harry Arter, I think he made 4 league appearances for us, which to be honest is more than I remembered him making. And 2 cup as well. And yeah, it just clearly wasn't anywhere near the side, unfortunately. I think his most telling contribution was when he got booked while he was on the bench at Burton Albion.
Yeah, it just didn't work out for him, did it? Which is a shame because I was really looking forward to having him back. You know, I thought it was the sort of signing that we needed at the time. I think we were lacking a bit of strength in midfield and a little bit of aggression. We had at that stage of the season, especially, you know, Dobson wasn't really anywhere near it. Sean Clare couldn't get in the side. We were looking at sort of Ben Watson and Albie Morgan in centre mid. And when we saw Harry Arter come in, I thought once he gets up to speed and up to scratch with his fitness, that he'd be a very good addition. And, you know, sadly, it's not worked out for whatever reason. And he'll go back to Forest now. And, you know, best of luck to him what happens for, you know, for him going forwards. But the main thing is I think it frees up a position and maybe frees up a little bit of the wages as well, because I think we were paying a percentage of them that can now be used somewhere else, hopefully, as we look to strengthen the side for the second half of the season. So all the best to him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, nobody expects every transfer to go well, Tom. You know, that's just the way of the world. It's probably a lesson, I guess, in making sure that we try and get the right ones. Because you'd imagine someone like Harry Arter, we would have certainly had to have paid a percentage of his wages, you'd assume. So it's a case of making sure you try and just don't make that same mistake again.
Yeah, it's a really difficult one with him, and he's kind of got the Joe Ledley syndrome almost, where he comes in with a good enough reputation. He is towards the back end of his career, but played a lot of his football at a higher level, and not somebody, you know, not like a Maddison, not somebody who's known as being a bit of a maverick or maybe a little bit lazy or whatever. You know, they're those two players as examples are known as kind of hard-working, grafting midfielders. And so I don't think he will have come here and, you know, slouched around and kicked up a fuss that he wasn't playing or anything like that. I think he probably will have, you know, knuckled down and worked hard. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out. So I echo what Lewis says, really. I wish him all the best. And I know he's been told, you know, he hasn't really got a future at Forest either. And when you get to that age of your career, you know, however much money you might have made and however successful you've been, that can't be easy for a player. So hope it works out for him. I think with us, I'm sure we'll have done our due diligence. As I say, it's not like the Madison transfer where you think, you know, from day one, I could only see that going one way. Boya clearly thought he'd get something out of him, but just didn't manage to. So, you know, in terms of who we've hired and the sort of person he is, I have no doubt that he will have wanted it to work. But, you know, it didn't, and we move on. And the important thing that I think everybody agrees with is it's freed up that space in terms of a loan. As you say, we'll have paid a portion of his wages at least, so it will have freed up some money. So the important thing now is that we use that space and that money well to bring somebody in who can make a difference and can influence games. And for me, that has to be up front.
Yeah, and obviously I did ask Jacko there about the transfer window, his experience of it as a manager for the first time, but also just how it was going behind the scenes. And he was speaking about how there's obviously a lot of conversations at this point. And I mean, we've seen in windows recently that we more often than not do our dealings later on in the window, and that might be true for a lot of clubs. I haven't seen many dealings around. I don't know if you've taken notice of a lot of clubs doing a lot of business. I've seen the odd one or two here and there, but it feels like it's going to be a slower one for us again, Lewis.
Yeah, I think so, and I think Jacko sort of referenced it earlier on in the week that I think all clubs will be fairly hesitant to let anyone go, you know, especially with loans. That's probably a position we'd be looking at, you know, a loan to fill at the moment with the pandemic being the way it is. Are you going to have clubs let people go out on loan if there's a risk that their squad's going to be ravaged with COVID and they can't fulfil fixtures? I think there's quite a lot, you know, to take into account financially as well. You know, the pandemic's not been easy for a lot of football clubs. So I don't think we'd expect a fast start, not just from us, but from anyone. But what will be interesting to see is where we prioritise first, because I think one thing, and I will mention it later in the show about Jaden, you know, if he's injured, depending on the severity of that, you know, that will leave us very, very short up top. So it depends, I suppose, if we want to get someone in quickly to fill positions early on in the window and then revisit it towards the end, or if we're going to muck through for now and then try and do our business at the end, maybe when more players come available. I think it's going to be a very difficult window to judge. So it will be interesting to see how it progresses.
Certainly. I mean, I think Ben said it on Sunday's show, Tom. I mean, ideally, if we are to try and make a dent in this 14-point deficit behind the playoffs, then ideally we do our business as soon as possible, start picking up points straight away. That's the ideal scenario. But I mean, we're on the 6th of January already. We've still got another, four league games in January. So, I mean, if we could get someone in time for when we have to go up to Crewe next Wednesday, that'd be ideal. But not always the way things work out, unfortunately.
No, and Jacko said it himself, didn't he? The start of the transfer window, there's a lot of chat, but not so much movement. I think you're going to see that across the board this January in particular, both financially for clubs with the pandemic, but also just with clubs, you know, worried about players getting struck down with COVID and having players available. So, and we have to remember where we are in the league as well. As attractive a club as we are, being based in London and a big club at this level, we are, you know, down in the bottom half of the table. So, you know, we have to pitch it to the right people and we have to be able to sell them the long-term project. And there's definitely going to be players out there who are on board and want to be on that journey with us. But, you know, there's not going to be hundreds of them queuing up to come through the door. So we have to be patient. I'm sure Gallen has done his research, as he always does. I'm sure he's got players in mind. I'm sure they're already talking to some players. But as you said, with the Harry Arter example as well, we need to make sure they're the right player and they're the right fit. So I'm like you. The sooner we get them in, the better, because we need to try and kick on if we're going to have any hope of breaking into that top six. But we also have to accept that it might just take a little while to get the right players as well. So let's not rush in for anybody that, you know, isn't going to work out, and in 2 months' time we're sending them back to their parent club or anything like that. Let's just make sure that we get the right players. And as I say, I have full faith in Gallen and Jacko. I'm sure they will they will get some good players in. And I'm sure that the second half of the season will be an improvement on the first overall. Just not convinced yet whether we can actually break into those top six places. But I'd love to be proved wrong.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of whether it's going to turn out to be permanent signings or loans or loan and permanent, it's partly up to Thomas, I guess. You know, it's not, you know, there is a bit of a misconception out there that he doesn't spend money, because we spent more money in this summer than we have for a long time. I believe is the case. So it's like there's a few people implying he goes like that's not the case. He does spend money, but whether he's going to want to do it in a January where A, the season's probably already gone, and B, you don't necessarily always get your best value for money, Lewis. That's one that Thomas will be thinking very carefully about.
Yeah, exactly that, and it will be how he views the rest of the season as well. You know, I think the expectations may be set now with Jacko taking the job. Don't know what the target is really for this season. I assume it is still going to be to try and make the top six, but I think there'll be a hell of a lot less pressure on Jacko to achieve that this season, given the deficit. So yeah, I think it will depend now about how we recruit, you know, smartly and how we approach the market with what we have. And, you know, do we look at players that may leave in the summer and look at positions to identify that we need to fill quickly, or to be honest, there's no mad rush for it, is there, if the season's over? But I would like to see some business, because I don't want the season to completely wither out. And while there's football to be played, there is still a possibility of making that top six, albeit quite a slim one. I think the thing for me will be, in my head at the moment, what I'm thinking about that will be the most interesting is what happens with Akinfenwo, because of the loan with the option to buy, whether we do anything with that in this window. And maybe Elliot Lee as well. I think they're the two that I wouldn't be surprised if we tried to get over the line on a permanent basis this month. But again, they're things that may wait until the summer when we have a little bit more time to do that and we can prioritise other positions.
Excellent stuff. Right, I promised you an update on Jaden Stockley's injury. I asked Jacko on Tuesday for an update on Jaden's hip problem.
Still managing that. Gone to see a specialist today, so we have to see what the outcome of that is. It's a bit of a strange injury at the minute. Around his hip area, so we have to get it right. We have to make sure that we don't lose him for any longer period of time by putting him at risk. So it's with the physios. Yeah, it's with them at the minute. They'll report back to me hopefully tomorrow or the next day. We might have a bit more clarity on that, but at the minute, no, I haven't got an update.
Is he still reasonably confident it's not going to be a long term one or anything?
I am. Yeah, I am. I don't want to put a time frame on it. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. Obviously the specialist will know a little bit more than what I do. Don't really know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I'm hopeful that he's not out for long.
There we go. Jacko always seems to play his card reasonably close to his chest in terms of timescales. I mean, sometimes he obviously wouldn't know yet anyway. But with Jaden, I asked him if he was still confident it's not going to be a long-term injury. And he said it sounded like he was. So that's a positive. But I mean, for us in our situation, anything over the space of about one game is too long, because we need Jaden. He's our top scorer. He's having a good season, Tom. And, you know, if he's not back for Sunday and maybe not Wednesday, then that will start to be a concern.
Yeah, spot on. I think whenever you find out that a player is being sent to a specialist, it kind of rings alarm bells, doesn't it? Because you think it's got to be something more serious. But as you say, Jacko certainly doesn't outwardly sound too concerned yet, which is a positive. I think, look, we've accepted that if he is going to be out, because, you know, he was suspended earlier in the season, Connor's been injured for periods since he's been at Charlton, we have to find a way to work when one of them isn't there. And we spoke a little bit about that on Sunday's show, and whether that's bringing somebody else in or whether that's adapting our style with the players that we've got left, we have to do that anyway. So that's something that maybe, if he is out, we might be forced to do a little bit earlier than we initially thought, which might not be the worst thing in the world. But ultimately, you want your best players playing. And as you say, he is having a good season. He is our talisman up there. And I'd much rather he's in the side than out of it at the moment. But, you know, that's the way it is. Players get injured, unfortunately, and that's what happens. And as I say, we just have to be better prepared for that. And, you know, you mentioned Davison a little bit earlier and his poor performance at the weekend. Whether it's him, whether it's Lecco up top, whoever it is, we need to be able to cope when one of our players is out. So if we're forced into that, it's another opportunity to try something else without him.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live, the big match preview. When we come back, we'll chat about another front for which we are fighting to get to Wembley.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Is there, heads it away. Can Lee pick it up? Yes, he can. Ahead of Kamara. Now sends Washington on that right hand side. He's in space. Washington into the area. He goes. Can he drill it home? Yes, he can. Oh, Connor Washington put Charlton 2-0 up. And could that be the game? A lovely ball out. Connor Washington on the run. Burstow is in the middle, but Connor Washington drills it home.
Charlton Live. Welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview looking ahead to Sunday's FA Cup third round tie with Norwich City at the Valley. Looking forward to the game to an extent. You know, it's not quite Arsenal. It's not Liverpool, but it's a Premier League team coming down to SC7. A chance perhaps to try and cause a bit of an upset and to progress to the next round, and we progressed to the next round of a different competition on Tuesday night. Milton Keynes came down to the Valley in the Pepperoni Trophy, and this is what happened.
Instead goes back to Gunter. Gunter is back to Suarez. Now looks to overlap Suarez. Allows room for the Suarez cross. It's a deep one. And it's Burstow there, and it's flicked in by Jonathan Lico. Charlton have the goal. In the first minute of added time, the cross from Suarez picked out Burstow. The far side of the six-yard box as Suarez was looking. The header back inside, picked out Lico, and he nodded it home.
It's an outstanding header at this far post by Burstow. It's a really good cross by Suarez.
Yeah, really, really pleased that we got through. Always want to win games, don't you? And this one was no different. So I was really pleased that we managed to, you know, score that late winner, especially, you know, scoring that late makes it very difficult for them to come back. So you sort of are preparing yourself for penalties there at the end, thinking that it's just going to it's gonna be a stalemate. So for Lico to pop up that late with a winner, really, really pleased.
It's getting tantalisingly close now, only two games from Wembley. Is that in the back of your mind?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I've said from the start in this competition that I've, the games that I've been in charge, that I want to win them. I want to win every game that I go into. So the fact that I've got a strong squad and I've got lads that need minutes, lads returning from injury, allows me to make changes but also field a strong team. I wouldn't put a team out there that I didn't think was capable of winning the game and progressing. I would never throw the tie away in that regard. So I've got full faith in the teams that I put out there that they can win and progress, and that's what we've done so far, and that's what we'll be doing in the next round.
What did you make of the performance overall? It was quite open in the second half in particular, but obviously your team was the one that went to the very end.
Yeah, I thought they started brighter. I thought the first 10 minutes they caused us issues and moved us around, and I think we really got to grips with it and played some nice stuff in that first half at times, got in some good positions. I think we had opportunities where we might have pulled the trigger, got some shots off in the first half, and was a bit disappointed that we turned them down. And you know, we spoke about that at half time, that we have to try and be more ruthless. And then you're right, I think the second half got stretched, the game got stretched, got open. We had to make some enforced changes, just not through injuries, just through sort of managing people's return to play and stuff like that. And I think there was a little period there where that caused a few problems, that caused some issues. Then we got to grips with it again and thought we finished quite strong and managed to get the goal. So it was a good game. Two good teams trying to win. Pretty even, but we managed to come out on top.
I think the draw's coming up this week. I think, have you got any ideas of what sort of tie you'd want? It's no longer regionalised, which could throw a bit of a spanner into the works.
Well, then I'm going to say I want a home tie. That will be the only answer. I don't care who we play, but yeah, I'd rather we got a home one so we don't have to travel midweek.
There we go, the goal and reaction from Johnny Jackson on after Tuesday's win over Milton Keynes. Jonathan Lecco with the last-minute winner that sends us through to the quarter-finals of the competition. As you heard there from Jacko, I asked him what sort of tie he wanted with it no longer being regionalised. He said, well, if it's no longer regionalised, I just want a home tie. Hartlepool away, in case you're wondering. It couldn't have gone any worse, Lewis. Will you be up there Tuesday night in Hartlepool?
Probably not, mate, no.
Yeah, I've bailed. Away. This is going to be the first game I'm going to miss this season, but there's no way I'm doing Hartlepool on a Tuesday night in the Papa John's.
Yeah, not for me. It's a little bit too far. And especially being midweek, evening, January, probably going to be quite cold. I hate to be that fair weather fan, but it's not going to be too pleasant, is it?
It's a January as well. We're already taking time off work to go to Crewe next Wednesday. And we've got Portsmouth on a Monday night at the end of the month as well, so that's an afternoon off. I mean, it's more hassle than it's worth. But in terms of the competition, I guess people getting carried away a bit, Lewis, about the fact we've drawn the lowest place club left in it, but certainly a League Two club. But surely that all goes out the window anyway, because we don't play our first team, they don't play their first team. It's just who happens to have the best reserves, I guess.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, it's no tie is easy. You know, the MK tie on Tuesday was a difficult one when you look at it on paper, and they played a fairly strong side as well. So I was relatively impressed, really, given the sort of players that we put out. I know we had, you know, Jonathan Lecco and Ryan Innes and people like that playing that were obviously, you know, people we see as strong first team players. But you look at the, like, you know, Nathan Harness in goal and Aaron Henry getting the minutes as well, and people coming on for debuts and everything like that. It's an impressive result. You know, it is an impressive result. And I know that the cup that we, you know, the pizza Papa John's pepperoni trophy, as we tend to mix it up and call it whenever we like, you know, it is a bit of a laughable competition maybe, but at the same time, it does give some of these sides a really good opportunity to go on a proper cup run that maybe they wouldn't be in and around the first teams. And obviously with the under 21s in it, sometimes can feel a little bit diluted for the Premier League sides being in there. But it's nice to see that, you know, we're on a bit of a cup run here, and we have got a chance of going to Wembley. And, you know, if we do have to suffer some of these games and it does end up with us getting a trip to Wembley for the final, you know, and we're being quite tipped for the final at the moment, you know, it'd be a great day out. So, you know, I'm all for it, and hopefully we can do the business and try and go all the way.
Yeah, I mean, the closer we get, Tom, the more tantalising a prospect it becomes to have. It's effectively like a tour of Wembley, because if you go and you lose, like, who cares? It's like it's a free hit just to get to go to Wembley and have a laugh. So the closer we get, the more I'm gearing up. I'm going to sign up for a Papa John's loyalty card at this rate.
Yeah, I had this debate with quite a lot of people over the past couple of days, because I still don't know how I feel about that if we did get there. And I completely agree with what you're saying. It would just be a very relaxed experience at Wembley. You know, I'd go, I'd have a few beers, I'd, you know, not be too fussed about the result. And that's fine. I just, for me, Wembley should be more special than that. And so it kind of undermines, I guess, what going to Wembley means. So
imagine we get there and we're playing the Arsenal under 21s.
Exactly. It makes a bit of a farce of the competition, but then the competition is a farce anyway. So it's not so much that I don't feel I should, you know, or that I should turn down a chance to see Charlton at Wembley. It's that I don't feel this competition is worthy of a final at Wembley. But if we get there, you know, I probably will be there. As I say, at least you can relax and have a good day out. And if you lose, it doesn't really matter. But we've got to get past Hartlepool and somebody else first anyway, so we're not there yet. But yeah, it would certainly be a different experience to the last time we were there, that's for sure.
I mean, certainly one of the good things about the competition that we've had so far is some of the younger players have played. We've actually played pretty strong team. I'd argue Tuesday night was the not weakest, I don't think that's quite fair, but the not the strongest side we've put into the competition. But we have seen the likes. I mean, Nathan Harness in goal in particular, Lewis, has been superb in the trophy and made two or three excellent saves on Tuesday night. And he's really showcasing himself. Ewan Williams got a debut. There are little bits and pieces which make the competition worthwhile for the football club, if not necessarily for the spectators themselves, and we're seeing that in the low crowd still. I think 1,600 there on Tuesday was the highest we've had in that competition probably ever since it's changed name, but certainly this season where we've also had one that was sub 800.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a well thought of trophy really, is it? But as you said there perfectly, you know, it is an opportunity for some of these younger players to get some minutes and come up against decent opposition, and also with an opportunity to get to Wembley. And you'd like to think that if we did go to Wembley, that these young players that are getting us there now or trying to get us there now would be the ones that get the opportunity to play there. And if that is the case, then, you know, I'm all for it. To see, like you said, the likes of Nathan Harness getting minutes and performing very well, you know, he's a real prospect for the future. So the minutes that he's getting in under his belt playing in this competition will only benefit us in the future if he gets, you know, more around the first team pitcher. The same with the likes of Mason Burstow. You know, we've seen him come on the scene this season and he's impressed in those cup competitions, and he's had a couple of appearances in the league, and it probably would be too soon to throw him in League One at the moment. So this sort of competition maybe kind of helps spoon feed him a little bit into that level of competitiveness, because I think it's been said many times before, you know, the under 21, under 23 level is very different to the level you come across when you get into the full senior game. So if it gives these young players an opportunity to, you know, to come up against big experienced players, then, you know, it's doing a good job in getting them ready and bloodying them up, ready for their step up into the senior side.
Yeah, I mean, also for the fringe players, one of which is Charlie Kirk, Tom. I mean, it's his performance I sort of wanted to highlight on Tuesday. He's still struggling to get going, isn't he?
Yeah, I mentioned him very briefly earlier, and I do feel for him in a way. We know the player he has been and what he's capable of, and obviously he had those difficult personal circumstances in the summer, and that may well still play a part in why he's struggling a little bit. It also could just be, you know, fitting in at a new team, or he hasn't had a whole lot of minutes recently, has he, either? So it's difficult for him. As I say, we know the player he's capable of, and you know, if I focus on the team and what we want to achieve, we need him playing well as well. So it's a difficult situation all round, really. I hope he stays, and I hope he finds a way to kick on, because, as I say, there is a really good player in there for this level. But at the moment, it's just not working. And these are the opportunities. You know, Jacko said it, Boya used to say it as well. These are the opportunities you've really got to grab and take and prove why you should be in the starting 11 for the league games. The same happened with Albie Morgan, and we haven't really seen him since. So it's difficult, and as I say, I do sympathise with him because he's gone through a difficult time. But ultimately, you know, my focus is Charlton Football Club, and we need a good Charlie Kirk, and we haven't really seen that yet, which is unfortunate.
Excellent stuff. Right, a couple of messages have come into the show this evening. Simon says, with the playoffs looking like a tall order, I would field a strong side and give it a real go against Norwich City. The FA Cup is not a priority for them either, but I feel it's a good test for us and a winnable game if we play well. It would be great to have a cup run. Excellent stuff. David's sent in a reminder that there's going to be a Q&A with former players Terry Naylor and Martin Robinson on the 14th of January at the Newbridge Club at the Blackheath Royal Standard. So if you guys want any further details about that, let us know. There's a fun night Q&A with the two former players for Friday the 14th of January. It's in Blackheath. Tickets are £20. Let us know if you want us to put you in touch with the organiser. And then Phil says, hi guys, not a bad performance against Milton Keynes on Tuesday. Didn't feel we created many good chances, but think the lads spent too much time trying to get in the perfect position to cross or shoot and failed to strike the ball first time when chances arise. By the time they finish passing back and forth, they're either in no better position or they've lost the opportunity or the ball. We need to have more confidence on the ball and hit crosses or shots earlier. Sorry it didn't work out with Harry Arter, but feel it was the right choice to cut his loan short, which frees up space for another loanee and additional funds for the transfer window. Another striker is essential, maybe one in midfield, but Jake Forster-Kaski should be back soon. And now a left-sided flexible defender to slot in on the left side of a free or left back. A strong team for Sunday, and we have a chance if we're on our game. I doubt they will play a negative team. and time wasting the same way that most League One teams do. They're obviously low in confidence, and we have absolutely nothing to lose. Stay positive for a healthy and positive new year at the Valley. That's from Phil. Cheers, Phil, for your message. And he's mentioned, of course, looking ahead to the game with Norwich on Sunday in the FA Cup. Let's find out a little bit more about the Canaries, shall we? Obviously sitting rock bottom of the Premier League, as we mentioned earlier, on a dreadful run of form as well. They've lost 5 games in the Premier League in a row, including a 3-0 defeat at Palace last time out, so they must be rubbish. I asked David Freezer to give me the lowdown. He works for the Eastern Daily Press up there. I asked him how much of a priority this game will be for Dean Smith and his side.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they gave this much priority, given that they are in a really, really terrible position in the Premier League at the moment. They are struggling. They can't even score goals. They have been, they've gone 5 games in a row without a goal. And frankly, the way things have worked out recently with injuries and illness, the only way I can see them going particularly strong is if some of those players are available again and do need the minutes. So they had 10 players missing for the defeat at Palace recently. They were 3-0 down half time, and then Palace basically took their foot off the pedal, and Norwich had a few goes at goal after that, but they were missing Grant Hanley. Mateus Norman has been a big miss recently. He's Norway international midfielder. He's been their best player, but he's been injured for, I think, 6 games, may not be back till February. Milo Rashica, similarly, was one of the summer signings, which has worked out. Andrew Omobama-Daly, who's an Ireland international defender, but then they also had... We don't know, because they haven't said explicitly that they were COVID absences, but it was either illness or injury, but Max Aarons, Todd Cantwell, Tamu Pukki, they all dropped out as well. Tim Krul had COVID. He put that on Christmas Day. So, I mean, I've pretty much named a lot of the players who are going to be recognisable to Charlton fans there, really. And any promoted club, if you take 10 players out of their squad, they're obviously going to struggle. And unless one of those or some of those players need the minutes against Charlton, then I think all the focus will be on 3 days later when they go to West Ham for a rearranged game, for one that they had to postpone because of COVID.
Looking at Norwich as a club, they're well known for being a bit of a yo-yo club now. I mean, do the fans get frustrated that they've got this chance to try and stay in the Premier League and they never seem to be able to grasp it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. And they always seem to be well placed. You know, they've been promoted as champions from the Championship twice under Daniel Farke. But what seems to have happened both times is that Farke ball, as Norwich fans like to call it, where they play the attractive, buccaneering sort of football in the Championship, then doesn't translate to the Premier League. And they try to play the nice stuff, the fancy football, and ultimately realise that the step up in quality is absolutely huge. And I feel like if they go back down again this time, which, short of Dean Smith pulling off a bit of a miracle now and really rejuvenating them once, if hopefully they can get everyone back fit, then they're going to have to get promoted in a different way. If you have a look at Sheffield United, Brighton, Wolves, Burnley, if you want to go a little bit further back, they all went up basically with that solid base in place, didn't they? They were good defensively, and then they were able to translate to grinding out points in the Premier League, and that's how they've got established. Even Bournemouth, a bit under Eddie Howe, although maybe they played some attractive football along the way. Norwich are never going to have a big budget, but they did spend about £60 million in the summer. They were, Stuart Webb, the sporting director, likes to use the line that they were the 11th biggest spenders in Europe. Obviously, a slightly different transfer window, wasn't it, because of COVID and all the financial difficulties around Europe and things like that. But for Norwich, that was a huge outlay, and they signed 11 players. But at the moment, it feels like the lessons from 2 years ago, when it was an awful relegation under Daniel Farke, they lost the last 10 games of the season. Those lessons haven't been learned, and they've almost changed too much too quickly, lost a bit of that spirit. They've not replaced the big players like Ollie Skip and Emi Buendia. And once you chuck all these injuries and illness into the mix as well, they've just really lost the thread of things.
I mean, how have they taken to Dean Smith coming in, obviously, so soon after his, what some felt was quite a harsh sacking at Aston Villa? But I mean, talk about out of the frying pan and into the fire, because a Norwich side that I guess is going to take a lot to keep them up.
Yeah, I think he's a brave man, really, because he knew that this had the potential to go badly, and he probably knew that there was a good chance he'd be a Championship manager again. The thing I feel is that most Norwich fans can handle relegation as long as they're in the fight, as long as they're scrapping to survive and they're in the mix towards the end of the season. If they go back down, ultimately they're not, most aren't too worried because they know they'll probably go back to the Championship and be in the promotion mix again. But if you go down in abject style like they did 2 years ago again, then that's kind of unforgivable, really, because it shows that lessons haven't been learned. But Smith, people maybe took a little while to warm up to him because he just lost his last five at Villa, and Daniel Farke was so loved for his personality, but amongst the supporters, he'd really led a bit of a cultural revolution at the club as well, in terms of style and the players that they recruited to fit that. So it maybe took a little while to work to him, but things started pretty well. He won his first game at home to Southampton. They really gave Wolves a scare. They drew 0-0, but should have won. They missed a massive opportunity up at Newcastle when Kieran Clarke was sent off after 10 minutes, and they should, if they'd have won that one, they really would have been flying. And the early signs were really quite positive. They were pressing a lot higher up the pitch. But ever since, you just haven't been able to level much blame at him, because he's been robbed of, as I was listing earlier, that 10 players, and I would argue six of them are probably in the strongest 11. So his plans have really gone out of the window. And at the moment, he looks a bit exasperated and a bit like your question pitched, that I think he's probably wondering why he went straight back into a Premier League relegation battle.
And then finally then, I mean, we already touched on it, but looking ahead to the game on Saturday, has there been any early indication of what sort of team he'll be putting out?
Not just yet, because we had the game postponed this weekend, which was, we were supposed to be going to Leicester on Saturday, but all fans were very pleased that was postponed because of the team that was probably going to be playing. And Leicester, of course, doing pretty well, just beating Liverpool and gave Man City a good run for their money. So there may be a chance of some young lads being involved. John Rowe is a young attacker who just made his debut in the Palace game. They've got a Poland international winger called Szemek Płocheta, who has kind of always been on the fringes, but Dean Smith seems to quite like him because he's a direct, traditional, very quick winger. Adam Eder, it plays regularly for Ireland, but doesn't really score many goals for Norwich, but they still think that there's a lot of potential in him up front. And then you've got a lot of the sort of summer signings haven't really clicked and haven't done the business yet. Pierre Lacemalou is an experienced player in the French top flight. Josh Sargent is a USA international striker. Angus Gunn is someone they paid $5 million for in the summer. Highly rated goalkeeper who's been in England squads and stuff in the past, is a Norfolk boy as well. So the big thing really that sums it up is that when he arrived, Stuart Webber sat next to him, next to Dean Smith at a press conference, and said basically they wouldn't be doing much in January. They'd spent all this money in the summer. He didn't think that Farke was getting the best out of that squad and that Smith has to achieve that. And now it's about getting the squad back together and him trying to get them to fulfil their potential, because they've been nowhere near it so far.
Thanks to David Freezer there for that cool analysis on Norwich's plight so far this season. I mean, they're a bit of a weird club, aren't they? I asked David there the question about how frustrating it must be for their fans to just be this weird yo-yo club. And if you think about the teams that have gone up and established themselves in the Premier League, the likes of Burnley or even Aston Villa, who are doing it the second season, Southampton done it for a number of years now. Leeds are desperately trying to cling on to it, or Wolves, who've been up there for a number of years, or Brighton. Basically, every side that isn't, I'm not going to say Palace, because they'll come down sooner rather than later. Like teams like Norwich, surely this is a chance for them to actually secure a Premier League berth for a number of years, and they've never taken it.
Yeah, you'd think that it's something that they would want to cling on to. I mean, you referenced Southampton there as well. I mean, they came up from League One with Norwich at the same time, I think, or from the Championship in that same season. And like you say, they've made a mainstay of it. They've had a couple of seasons where they've been close to danger, but they've always managed to avoid it. They've had seasons where they've been on the verge of European football, and Norwich, sadly, have been the side that come up and go back down immediately. And, for their fans, it must be very frustrating, because they've kind of become a bit of a laughing stock. Yeah? And when they do come up, everyone's like, oh, well, they'll go back down anyway. And they've got that tag now of just being this yo-yo club that always perform very well in the Championship, but knowingly they're going to come straight back down again. And that must be really frustrating, because I thought the manager they had at the time, Daniel Farke, had a lot of potential and could have, done a decent job there if maybe they were given the opportunity to stay up. But for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to work out for them. And now they've got a very good manager in Dean Smith, someone that while he was at Villa was being linked with some seriously, decent jobs because of the job he was doing at Villa, and lost his job this year and he's gone over to Norwich. And, I I'd hate to think that it will be the same thing where they just keep going up and down and up and down with him, because I think he's too good of a manager to settle for something like that.
Mm. I mean, Tom, do you think the fact that they've lost their last, was it five games in the Premier League without scoring a goal, do you think that will play a part in their confidence levels coming into this, considering it probably will be a very different side?
I guess the FA Cup maybe serves as a distraction. I mean, not only have they lost them and scored no goals, which in itself is appalling, that the state of their football has just been so bad. And a neutral looking at this game, I would imagine, would, I don't know whether we'd be favourites, but certainly would think it's going to be a competitive game, because like they're as bad a Premier League team as I ever remember seeing. Their inability to just play football, which is literally the one thing they have to do. But you never know. They have got, on paper, very talented individuals, and they might well come here and run us over. So it's a really difficult one to know. As you say, they're likely to rest a few of their key players as well, so that might help us. But I think when you're in as bad a form as they are, you'd imagine that that sort of permeates throughout the club. But having said that, maybe they get promoted and they accept they're immediately going to come down and take each season as a free hit. And if that's the case, then maybe, you know, atmosphere around the club actually isn't that bad. So I don't really know enough about the inner workings of it, but I'd love to know what that mindset is, because as you said a bit earlier, they get promoted and they don't seem to show any ambition to actually try and stay there, which is, as you said, a sort of purgatory for their fans, really.
Hmm. Excellent stuff. Right, one more bit of news today. The Cheltenham Athletic women's side have made their first signing of the January transfer window. Georgia Fox, 18-year-old fullback, has joined on loan for the rest of the season from Chelsea. Let's hear how delighted she is to be here with Cheltenham.
Oh, it feels so good. I've watched the team play over the course of the season and I've been really impressed with the football they've been playing. So I think the group's really driven. I think Cam's created a really good environment, so I'm really excited to be part of that. And yeah, I can't wait to get started.
You've been training with the team the last couple of days. How have you found that experience?
Yeah, the team's been really welcoming. It's a great group of girls and we've had two good sessions, so just ready to kick off the second half of the season now.
You've had the chance to speak to Karen Hills, as she said, what she expects from you?
Yeah, I've had a few conversations with her. I think she just expects confidence on the ball, getting forward, because obviously I'm a fullback, I like to whip in crosses, so that's what she's looking for. But obviously I need to do my defensive duties as well, but I just can't wait to get started playing with the team. And yeah, got some good connections in there already, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And for the Cheltenham fans that maybe don't know quite as much about you, what sort of player are you?
I'd say I have a bit of flair going forwards, like to put a few skills in there and whip in some crosses, but then I like to take pride in my defensive duties as well, so I think expect some good defending, but then also expect me in the final third a lot as well.
There we go. All the best to Georgia for her stay at Crayford. Hopefully, will help fire the side further up the league table. So, final say then, Lewis, before we get into Sunday's cup tie. And don't forget, it's Sunday. I have to keep reminding myself it's not Saturday. If we win this, it won't be, like I say, it won't be a seismic shock. But do you think it could build some momentum for the rest of our league season as well?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, regardless of Norwich's stature in the Premier League, they're still a Premier League side. So I think, you know, if we can get a decent result out of them and it's a decent afternoon at the Valley with a half-decent crowd, then, you know, I think, yes, it can. It can definitely carry something into the regular league season, especially off the back of a couple of, you know, negative results since Jacko's come in. You know, it's been fairly faultless, isn't it? And now he's had these two defeats. You know, it's how we bounce back from that. So hopefully this proves as a good opportunity for us to cause a bit of an upset, boost people's confidence, and then go into a busy January fixture list and try and, you know, get ourselves back in that top six running. It's going to be difficult, but I think it's a good opportunity to do so.
Mm. And do you think the fact it is a Premier League side that comes to the Valley, as we've said, in name only, does that add a little bit more excitement for you, Tom, or does this feel the same as playing Barnsley?
No, it definitely adds a little bit more excitement. I've got a couple of people I know who are Norwich fans who are coming down as well, so that just helps and gives me an excuse to see them. But I think the fact that it is a Premier League team, you know, that is still ultimately where we want to get to, so it's an opportunity to challenge ourselves against them. They're a team that probably we've played a little bit longer ago as well, whereas if you do pick somebody from the Championship, it was only a year or two ago that we were playing them. So Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to get back down to the Valley and see what we can do against a team of whatever level we're going to claim Norwich are at. So, yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting one and an interesting game, I think.
Lovely stuff. Well, don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday after the game to look back at whatever happens against Norwich. So make sure you get your views in on the performance as soon as you can after the full-time whistle. Either email studio@charltonlive.co.uk or tweet at Charlton Live. Let us know your views on the game against Norwich because we'll be reading them out that evening on the podcast. So get those in as soon as possible. Right, thanks to everyone who's tuned in to this week's big match preview. Hope you've enjoyed the show. I'm Louis Mendes. Thank you to Tom and to Lewis who joined me as well.
Cheers,
cheers, mate.
Good to speak to both of you. We'll be back on Sunday after the Norwich game. We look forward to speaking to you guys then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.